This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Thank you for listening. Couple things we're talking about. One, the Phillies and their insistence on having Kyle Schwarber hit leadoff sometimes. Two starting lineups. I mean, two is better than one always, right? They've already, it seems like, backed off their Trey Turner is going to be the leadoff hitter thing to have Kyle Schwarber hitting leadoff when there is a right-handed pitcher, but when there is a left-handed pitcher, Trey Turner will hit leadoff, showing that they are not actually committed to fixing the things that went wrong at the end of last year. Whether you think it's a big deal or not, if Schwarber is hitting leadoff or Trey Turner, and the discussion is who is going to be the face, when we look back in 20 years, the face of the 2010s Eagles, who will be the face? I still think it's Nick Foles. Not the best player of the era, but he will be the face of the era. Jack with Kelsey and Ike with Brandon Graham. 215-592-9494. Oh. Joe in Delaware, you're on WIP. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Spike.
Yeah.
You really, I remember when Ike used to tackle somebody and gash a big cut in his forehead. But anyway.
You mean, that was John Ritchie, I think.
Yeah, well, it was definitely Ritchie. He used to get it real bad.
Yeah, I don't know if Ike ever bled. I mean, did you ever bleed?
Oh, yeah.
For this city?
I bleed for this city!
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
So, Eddie Murphy was a great answer, too. Remember when he said, his uncle did a fire, and it went as high as the house. He goes, "Now that's a fire! That's a fire!" I used to love that. But anyway, about the Phillies, I say
it is 4 o'clock, the witching hour. So, go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
Oh
sorry.
My God!
I was talking
Jack
to Jack.
Oh
no,
my
it's
God.
All good.
He always interrupts, doesn't he?
Yep.
Jack does. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
The worst.
Right.
The
yeah.
worst.
Like, I loved you too, man. So you were a great player. So the Phillies lineup, I think it's gonna be like Scott.
Can I ask you?
You said Ike.
Yeah. What was your favorite Ike Reese play?
Awesome.
I always loved his voice.
Right.
Yeah.
He was a linebacker, so he didn't get talked about a lot, but he played hard.
Yep.
I'm diehard Eagles and Phillies fan.
Right.
Yes, sir.
But one play.
What's that?
No, just one play. That's all I want.
One play?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you want to play one play?
No, I want you, like, what was your favorite Ike? Like, what was one play for Mike's career?
Ike was a very good. He was on special teams. He was always down there.
Yeah, always.
There wasn't, I can't remember.
Mucker and a grinder.
Did you ever get a pick six, Ike?
No, not a pick six.
Okay, I didn't think so. I wasn't sure. And Hugh Douglas got an interception. How about that?
Unbelievable.
I don't remember that.
Can't even do 25 push-ups and he got an interception.
Yeah, it had to fall in his hands, you know?
Yep.
So my lineup, swear, I should be the coach. I wish.
Yep, totally
I
agree.
Think it should be Stott, Turner, Harper, Schwarber,
Boehm.
Yeah. Then JT, then Castellanos. And then whoever's left.
Jack, what do you think about Joe saying that Stott should lead off?
No, I love it. It's good.
No, come on.
All right, so my real answer is like, all right, this is not anti-Stott, right? He hit 235 last year, and he is not exactly an impact bat. And I know that everyone I love this idea of fouling off pitches and at the top of the lineup. And, like, do that in the seven spot, in the eight spot. You can't have a guy who's not an impact hitter getting your most at-bats in a baseball game. Like, it's not just about the first inning. He's going to bat four more times. You want an impact bat getting the most at-bats in the game. That's my Stott thing.
You know, he got speed, and And whoever's on, they can watch more pitches that way, too, at the beginning of the game to see what the pitcher's doing. So I think we need that and then put Turner right behind him. I don't know. That's just what I think. You know, if Rojas
sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, I don't think Jack knows what he's talking about. The guy, he played Division III baseball. He barely made it through 2 years. His ERA was 8. You know, does the guy know about baseball?
I think it was 11.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to be nice. Joe, who is great at two things?
All right, one more thing.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, but they said the lineup works out. We went 41 for 41 the last 82 games. It didn't work out.
I agree with you.
With Schwarber as number one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I even from a bigger picture perspective, because they could certainly go 41 and 41 with Trey Turner hitting leadoff. Mm-hmm. It's just like, to me, having a guy like that hitting leadoff is this sort of left of center experiment that if you want to do it, you better win. And and the problem at the end of the year better not be offense. And the problem at the end of the year was offense, 2 years in a row. So if you want to do this weird little thing where the 260-pound home run hitter is the leadoff hitter, that's fine. You better win the World Series. And they didn't. So why don't we try doing it like a normal team where the leadoff hitter is a guy that hits 315, steals 35 or 40 bases, and that's it. And we have the home run hitter hitting cleanup. That they've had their chance with the Schwarber leadoff thing. They've had their chance, in my opinion. So
our coach is missing something, man. He's one nut short of a.
Well, he just wants everybody to be. He just wants everybody to be relaxed and not looking him funny when he walks into the clubhouse. He just wants everybody to be friends.
Back and forth, they could be chewing on base. He could get three runs, and maybe we would have won. Three more games.
Poor Stubbsy's got to pay for the sins of Rob Thompson. Are you going to give us somebody that's great at two things?
It's a rival. Travis Kelce. He's great on everything else, and he's a great football player.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, Travis.
Yeah, I guess.
Travis has done reality TV.
Yeah, he has done Catching Kelce.
Yeah.
He got. Has a $100 million podcast.
Got a podcast.
Yep. But there you go. Great at two things. He's certainly successful at two things.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's like, was after 4 o'clock tough for you guys on Friday? Because we had a week last week where once 4 o'clock happened, the callers got a little weird.
Well, what happened was a lot of the exiled callers called in after four.
Yeah, we did have. Yeah, that came out of nowhere. All the guys called back.
Oh, although the guys from earlier in the week?
No, earlier in the show.
Yeah, yeah. No longer calls us anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the one guy.
No, a couple guys.
Who else?
Oh, yeah.
Chris and Ben Salkin.
Yep.
Okay.
Black Gritty.
Yep.
Yeah.
Andy from Defert.
Andy from Defert still calls.
Andy from Defert still calls. There's one more. I was like, oh, it's been a while.
I don't remember Chris from Ben Salkin. Is he the guy with the dry cleaner?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
Teeth in the forehead guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The tough
teeth
guy.
Teeth in the forehead guy.
Mr. Tough guy.
He has teeth in the forehead.
Well, yeah, he's talking about road rage incident. And I said, he is the reason why I should stop flipping the bird.
Well, yeah, I saw that. So I was taking a walk at walking down Chestnut. Mm-hmm. And I think it must have been wherever, maybe around 8th or 9th in Chestnut. I see a guy, there's two trucks in front of each other, two pickup trucks. The one guy gets out of his pickup truck and is screaming and pointing at the guy in front of him, right? And I'm just watching.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the guy gets back in his truck, and I said, all right, he's going to leave. He did not leave. He turned his truck sideways so the other truck couldn't get by him.
Yep.
And it's, I don't know, 11 in the morning.
Man.
There's 15 cars behind it, two buses, everyone honking, guy just sitting outside of his truck, arms crossed, screaming at the guy in the truck.
Yeah, I can't do it.
That was a nice little reminder.
Yeah.
That if somebody is, cuts you off, just keep going.
Yeah.
Don't yell at that guy, because you never know when you're going to face that guy.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And you... You usually know it immediately because you can see that person's eyes.
Yep.
When they give me that finger, you're like, probably best I leave that alone. Yeah. Just let him go.
The other guy that called, did you let him do his whole routine that he goes? It'll go on for 90 seconds, just blabbering away.
Yeah. Right. Full call in.
Oh, there you go. So, Ike, your thoughts on Jameis Winston signing with the Giants?
Listen, Jabbo, love him to death. Who doesn't love Jameis Winston, man? He's wholesome.
Local crabs.
He's wholesome.
Wow.
Well, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. I just mean, his personality is infectious.
Right.
He's a good dude.
Yep.
But he's Jameis Winston.
Right.
Yeah.
They still got to draft the guy.
Yeah.
Listen, it's good for Malik Neighbors in fantasy.
Yeah, because listen, Jameis will throw it.
He's going to throw the ball.
He's going to throw the ball.
Well, and it's smart. To me, it's even smarter than them doing a Stafford thing or something, because you need a future quarterback anyway.
Yeah.
Somebody that you're not going to feel bad about benching.
And Jameis is good. He's a team guy. He's not about to cause a lot of issues or anything of that nature. So, I got to give Jameis a lot of credit, man. You know, former number one overall pick. Been kicked around a little bit.
Yep.
Right? But he seems to be a good locker room guy. You know, he goes in, he accepts his role as a backup quarterback.
Everybody just sort of chuckles
He's harmless. Like, those are the types of guys that wind up sticking around for a long time.
So ESPN put out a list of remaining free agents in the NFL. I want to ask if you would be interested in any of these guys for the Eagles. Of course, if they are available for the minimum, because that seems like that's what we're signing guys for. So, number one, Rasul Douglas, cornerback.
Out. Super Bowl 17 champion.
Yes. You're out.
Yep.
Okay. We don't need a wide receiver, so no Stephon Diggs, no Amari Cooper.
Nope.
Mike Hilton.
He kind of plays the same position that Cooper plays. He's like a nickel corner.
Yeah, we did lose Maddox, I guess, you know.
Well, this kid at one point was the best, or considered to be the best nickel corner in football when he was with the Bengals.
Yep.
So, I'd love to have him.
Yep.
I just don't know where he fits in as far as how you're going to use him.
Asante Samuel.
That's somebody I'm surprised is still out there, because he's young still. And not the biggest guy, you know. They tried him on the outside, not great on the outside, so he became a little bit of a slot corner, nickel corner. Again, somebody that plays Cooper's position.
Yep.
So if the Eagles are going to, if they are steadfast in keeping Coop in that role, then you really need an outside corner.
Okay, and then three edge guys available.
Who you got?
Now, this guy's old, but he still plays all the time. Calais Campbell.
Nah, I'm out.
Okay. 39 years old, you're not going to
do it? Yeah, I'm out, yeah. As well kept BG.
Za'Darius Smith.
Now, that's one I'm not. I wonder, does he have any ties to Vic Fangio? Played in Green Bay.
Well, he played for the Browns.
Played with the Browns. He's with the Browns, right?
Yeah.
Put him opposite.
Detroit and Cleveland is all.
That's the big guy in Cleveland. Giving it is Myles Garrett.
Miles
put him opposite Myles Garrett.
Yep.
Did somebody trade for him in the middle of the season last year?
Detroit, when they lost
the
Lions.
The Lions. Oh, they didn't bring him back.
They did not. He is a free agent still.
Now, he's somebody I would think about.
32 years old, still can, you would think, still
can play. Yeah, you'll need him for a year.
Yep. And then finally, and you've mentioned yes on this, Matthew Judon.
Yeah.
Yeah. 33. Yeah. Will be 33 years old.
I didn't realize Judon was 33.
He had 15 and a half sacks 2 years ago,
right.
But not. He's at that age. That is the age where these guys start to decline. Mm-hmm. So, but you'd still
on
be
a one-year deal. Yeah,
yep.
I'd bring him in.
215-592-9494. Dave in Northeast Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Dave?
How you doing? I'm gonna start off as real positive. We won the World Series this year.
Sure did, okay, buddy. Yep, we sure did.
Okay, now let's move to the Phillies.
Okay.
You mean we
won the?
Yes.
Okay.
Let him cook.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, listen, we're going to go right down the line. The Phillies, whatchamacallit, Dombrowski and Thompson have squandered this group. I think their windows, everybody got better. The Mets got better. The Braves are healthy. We got our Dombrowski's big signing is a pitcher that hasn't pitched good in 2 years. And his last two outings, he's gotten shelled. And not to mention, we have to depend on Walker again. What's more important to Dombrowski, being right or winning games? I think that's obvious at this point. Okay? It's obvious that he wants to be right.
No.
Now,
he doesn't want to just cut an $18 million pitcher. You know, he
Well, I mean, do you want him to lose seven more games?
It's three starts.
Well, it's not.
It's three starts.
It's not three starts.
And then you
it's probably three starts.
At the back of the bullpen and use him to which it doesn't change the fact.
Use who in the back of the bullpen? Use who in the back of the bullpen?
Leave Walker. I hope that's where he's going after he blows his.
Oh, the okay, not
starts.
The. Okay, I got you. I got you. Longman. No, Longman. You mean?
Yeah, slot cleanup guy. Okay, and you got what you're doing the same thing with the lineup. All our guys in the farm system at the trading deadline last year were untouchable. Aiden Miller, untouchable. Andrew Painter, and I agree with that. They're studs. But why aren't they up here? Why aren't they up here? Aiden Miller plays a better shortstop than whatchamacallit does.
But
than Turner does.
He's 20. He's 20.
Does that change the fact that he's there's other teams that have?
But Trey's a 295. Like Aiden Miller's going to be fine, but he hasn't played above double A. We realize this, right? I mean, and Andrew Painter's coming back from Tommy John.
I do realize that. I also watched Trey Turner butcher shortstop. I mean, he's not. I mean,
so where are you putting Trey?
Center field.
All right. Well, he might be there in 2 years.
Well, all right. Well, in two years, where's the nucleus of this team going to be?
I'm not That's here.
Realmuto won't be here. Okay. Harper's losing patience now. Okay. Everybody keeps saying that the for 2 years the offense failed. Well, if Thompson wouldn't have blew the pitching against the Diamondbacks, we sweep that series. The offense doesn't even come into play until we're in the World Series. Oh. Okay, it's that simple.
And which scenarios are you saying that he blew the pitchers?
Well, he brought whatchamacallit in he brought the closer in the seventh inning, the one game, and he proceeded to give up, a two-run homer? I can't even think of the guy's name now.
Kimbrel.
Oh, you're talking about
Kimbrel. Yeah, we were at that game.
Oh, at a mall. It's brutal.
I mean, his whole handling of the pitching that the end that in the beginning of that series, and then we should have won. We had a 3-2 lead coming home. Yeah, we should have won. We should have swept that series.
Dave, the problem is nobody holds these guys accountable, and we keep waiting for Jack to do it. He just won't hold them accountable.
But every time I heard Dombrowski during the spring training on the radio and he defended his signing last year. Oh well, the poor guy did this, and then he got sick, and then he did. Listen, you know what? You can make. How many excuses? What's that guy's signature move?
Signing Kyle Schwarber.
Is that okay? Okay, but that's his signature move.
Sure.
And how long ago was that?
Before the 2022 season.
Okay. What's he done since then?
I know.
All right, Dave. Thank you for the call.
Did he help us win?
Thank you. No, you're right. You would agree that overall, the Dombrowski era here has been a little disappointing.
Well, if you're looking for a big classic Dombrowski move, sure.
Well, if you're looking for anything.
But.
Well, hold on. You forgot Trey Turner, too.
Yeah, I know. But well, but I don't think people would.
You don't want that to be your signature sign.
I love with that
contract. Well, but that is his. For better or worse, that's one of his signature moves.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And Taiwan.
His best move, Schwarber. But
And no deadline moves.
No, not really.
So do you.
Hobby for Brandon Marsh.
Okay. So do you think, would you agree that Dombrowski's performance here has been...
I'd give him a B.
That's a little kind, right?
But why?
What do you mean, but why?
Like,
do you think Trey Turner 10 years for $300 million is a good signing?
No, not right now.
Do you think Taiwan Walker 4 years for $80 million is a good signing?
He missed on Taiwan Walker.
Okay.
But the organization is in a much healthier spot than they were before he took over. I mean, there's been a lot of things going... Like the farm system got rebuilt. They've added more wins every year. They went to a World Series. Like I don't think that's a failure. If you keep waiting for them to make a big move, sure. But also, do we want to keep the window open or trade all the prospects? So it's they're tough between both of those.
My question would be, did he do a good job of maximizing the window that was there? I can agree with you that at this point, maybe throwing good money after bad and trading, you know, Aiden Miller to get a guy that might add 1.5 wins or whatever, it might not be the move. But do you think while he was here, he did a good job of maximizing the talent, maximizing the window of the players that were here?
No. I would say it's just, again, I think he's done about a B to B minus job.
Okay. And when they signed, and when they got him, he was a guy who took big swings. Do you think his lack of big swings is him, or do you think that that sort of the situation prevented him from taking big swings? Like, what do you think the reason is for his less than exciting performance?
I would say situation, because I don't think they had the prospects to do it. Like, I don't think they had the depth of prospects to do it.
Well, they did last year. Oh, not the depth. They certainly had the top guys.
They're top heavy in the system.
Okay.
Well, does he get? He gets credit for drafting the young guys.
Well,
not really.
I know he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really.
So he gets no credit for nothing. Anything that happens in the farm system.
Well, no. But he hires people to make the right decisions down there. Like, he hired. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
all right,
not to get too in the weeds on this.
They drafted Painter since he's been here, right?
Yeah.
And Miller. Yeah.
But Ed Wade can't get credit for that.
But you're arguing with the right guy on that. I don't give Ed Wade credit for that.
No, that's I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How did you not pick that up?
Yeah, you don't want to give Ed Wade credit for those players and not trading them away, but we're saying one of the good things that Dombrowski has done is not trade away their good
players. But Ed Wade never led a team to the playoffs.
Dave Dombrowski didn't lead anyone to the playoffs.
But they were losers before. They were. Like, they didn't. They weren't winners. And does he get credit for realizing what winning players are? I mean, like, again, Schwarber came in and turned it around. Like, Sosa's a valuable, middle infielder to have. I mean, there's little moves that do matter. It's not always the big moves. Turner, good player, not great. And Taiwan's a miss. What would you give Dombrowski?
C.
For why?
Because he's been neither a value add or a value subtract. He's been, it's very easy to say last trade deadline. Well, they knew they won 95 games. And to not take a swing at the deadline and go, well, we tried or whatever, or the guy we got had a kidney problem, or that guy's not anything, So he doesn't get an F, but I also have trouble giving anyone, if we can look at the roster and say, look, they're spending $300 million on this roster, and a good portion of that money was spent by him, and if we don't think that they're going to win the world, or they haven't won the World Series, or they haven't, he's had as many like iffy or bad moves as he has good moves, then I think it's a C. I wouldn't fail him, but I've certainly not been impressed for a guy who has a Hall of Fame resume coming in here. By the way, not dissimilar from the guy that I always defend, but I think the difference is in baseball, like there's not a salary cap. There's you have an easier time acquiring those sorts of players. Mm-hmm. So I would just give him a C. It's been unspectacular.
I wonder if John Middleton told them this offseason, no more spending.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they were certainly up against the wall this offseason.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, and they tried to trade Boehm, and I think what ended up happening was they were probably takers for Boehm, but not getting back anything that was better than Boehm.
Right.
And you're not. It's not like Boehm's making a big number where you can clear out his number and then go sign Bregman. He's making $9 million this year or something like that.
And they had to get that in arbitration.
Right, yeah. So I do think this offseason they were probably a little bit stuck. All right. Coming up next, man, we heard, a listener you have heard about before does a little play-by-play on the side.
Ah.
And he had a call this weekend. Jack, would you say it was a shockingly good call?
Not a bad call?
Not a bad call at all. So we will play that. We'll also get to your calls, 215-592-9494.
I want to put that call up against Keffler's.
Oh, Keffer's call is still the best call in semi-WIP radio history.
Didn't he think it was a home run and it was a fly?
Let me find it.
Okay.
Yeah, find it so we can put them together, man.
It was sort of like Bryce when he hits one of them. Yes. All right. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
to WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and man, we just went to break.
Sorry. Oh, boy.
That's on me. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, the Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply online at marks-jewelers.com. Which is the better Eddie Murphy role, Trading Places or Coming to America?
Ooh.
This is a close one. 58.2% Coming to America.
Coming to America.
I understand that. I certainly understand. That, yeah. That movie has... has lived on,
sure.
I think, a little bit more than Trading Places has. You might have to be a little bit older to have seen Trading Places.
Classy, though. Oh, Philadelphia movie, too?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Not everything in that movie. There are some moments. It's funny watching comedies from then.
Mm-hmm.
That not every part of the movie would have been made in 2025.
You can't do blackface anymore. Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, you can't. Dan Aykroyd. That's a Jamaican on the plane,
yes.
On the train.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Worked pretty good for 20 years. Though.
Yes. Yeah.
I was never offended by it. I never even thought about it. I just thought it was a great scene.
It was very funny.
That's the way I looked at it.
So, all right. Just to explain who this person is. So, you know O.G. Wade. O.G.
Yes.
Wade.
Everyone knows O.G. Wade.
Everyone knows O.G. Wade. As, you know, whether you're annoyed by him or love him, O.G. Wade, you know, O.G. Wade is polarizing. Hold on one second. There we go. Way better. Yeah. Well, I needed to get better. All right. So, O.G. Wade has a podcast called Knowledge Without College on YouTube and the free Odyssey app.
On the Odyssey app, yeah.
Yes, get that out there.
Basically makes him an Odyssey employee.
Yeah. Come on in anytime.
Yeah. And he's got a producer named Justin.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned sometimes Justin.
Some say he carries the show.
He does. Many would say. The only time I've ever heard of a producer carrying a show, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, well, listen. And he's more memorable than OG.
But it's not even close. And he shows up in more places than OG does. And we've mentioned a lot of times, you know, sometimes you just turn around at an event.
There he is.
And there's Justin with this sort of blank stare, a little bit of a smile. Hey. Hey, Jack.
Yeah.
You get the handshake.
Yeah.
But God bless him. Just a, you
grinder.
Know, sweetheart. Now, would you be surprised if when you got home at night, he was standing out front with a knife? No, not totally surprised. Not shocked. But anyway, Justin does play-by-play, which we have been, I guess, surprised by because Justin, like, he doesn't come across as a talker.
Mm-mm.
He does basketball play-by-play. High school basketball play-by-play?
No. It's high school, but it's alumni of the high school.
Okay,
so
right.
It's not an alumni league for ex-professionals or an alumni league for an ex-college.
Okay.
It's an alumni league for ex-high school sports.
Okay.
So I'm wondering when we're going to start getting this for the Chessmont. And we could bring some Rustin greats back.
Well, yeah, but then you're gonna have shoulder problems, right?
Yeah,
away.
Yeah. And there's a kid drafted after me, so.
So there was a clip of Justin making a big call of a game winner on Twitter, and here's what it sounded like:
57 of 55. They take 0.3 seconds off. Here's a three ball shot. Good! A buzzer beating 3-pointer for Javon Bird. And the West Catholic Bears have advanced to the next round.
You hear the power in the voice?
Yes, it was huge. It was a big call. I was surprised. I thought we were going to hear, and he hit a three-pointer.
Yeah, he seems like more of a golf announcer.
Yeah, but he went ham on that.
Yeah,
let me hit it again.
Yeah.
57 of 55. They take 0.3 seconds off. Here's a three-ball shot. Good! A buzzer beating 3-pointer for Javon Bird! And the West Catholic Bears have advanced to the next round!
All right, wait, hold on. It's a buzzer beating 3-pointer for what?
That's the guy's name.
Oh, was his name?
Yeah, there's Javon
or
Bird.
The team's
Javon
name.
Bird. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and Shorty walked right on out the gym. He hit the 3-point shot and went straight to the door.
Oh, he did? I didn't even watch the video.
Oh, yeah,
I was just listening.
Oh, yeah. So
it was a good call by Justin. Yeah. I think Lakin's got to give him a tryout.
Well, we don't do play-by-play.
Well, the Eagles, the Phillies.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You never know.
Yeah. You got Keffler's call?
I do have Keffer. Keffer's call. Yeah. Again, once the face of WIP.
So Jack
Spike left us with...
All right. He
Spike
tried very hard.
Ran to New York and left the biggest radio station in the company, some say.
Second.
With the 23-year-old running.
Wait a minute.
Oh, man.
There was 3 months for them to get somebody in here. So Jack Keffer was my assistant program director here. Yeah. He did work very hard. Mm-hmm. And when I left for WFAN, they had not hired Rod yet. So Keffer was left, in charge.
Oh, dude, whenever he had to talk to Ike.
Oh, my God.
Was he terrified?
Oh, it was the funniest. I just watching from afar.
Yeah.
It was
Well, it was 10 minutes of...
Talking around.
Yeah, dude, will you just get to the point of whatever it is you're trying to say?
Ask him to show up somewhere for free. Just do it. That's the job. Is asking Ike to show up somewhere for free. That is the job. It's like four times a year, you're going to have to do it. He's going to be mad at you, but he's probably going to do it.
Probably going to do it.
Yeah. You just got to get it out and do it. You got to space them out. You got to put on the calendar when the last time you asked. It's just like it's part of the job.
Yeah. He has it all figured out.
But so Keffer in his previous life, or no, he did it after this too.
He left here to do this.
Well, he left here twice, by the way.
Yeah.
So before he worked at WIP, he worked at Odyssey Corporate. Mm. And he left that job to go do play-by-play. He quit to come back and work for us.
Right.
And then when I left, he left again. And did he go to Louisville or
Memphis.
Something?
Memphis.
That's
yes,
what it was.
Yes, yes. Picture Keffler down in Memphis.
Keffer.
Yeah.
So here is Keffer's legendary call.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on and drilled. Into left center field, kiss it goodbye as this one hits the wall.
Oh boy.
Two runs will score. Kiss it goodbye.
Oh man, no, one more
as
time.
As this one hits the wall.
I need the whole thing one more time.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on and drilled. Into left center field, kiss it goodbye as this one hits the wall.
I'm telling you, it's the Bryce Long fly ball of calls.
Man, it definitely is.
Yeah.
It definitely is. Oh, my
he
God.
He thought he was going to have a Justin moment.
Yeah.
It ain't Keffer day.
No.
You know? It
he
ain't Keffer.
He was trying to make the big leagues with that call.
Yeah. He was.
Yeah, Justin's call was definitely better.
Way better. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Good job, Justin.
By the way, I'm going to call Keffer Keffler from now on. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is it Keffler?
It's Keffer.
Keffer.
It's just Keffer.
Yeah. Max Kepler is the Zach Bond of the Phils.
Yes.
Huh?
Wait, what?
What? Did I say that out loud? The one-year deal turns into a star.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Everyone picking up what I'm putting down?
Yes.
MJ in Pottstown, you're on WIP. What's up, MJ?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, MJ.
Hold on, you don't get to use initials MJ unless. What's the significance behind this?
He's the GOAT. This is his flu game call.
He's the GOAT. No, not quite. In fact, I'm dragging a little bit. So can I put in a request for a little Ike juice?
Nothing's
drinking that Ike juice. Reluctantly.
That was not reluctantly. My finger is basically hovering over it. Take a deep breath, Keffler.
Go ahead, MJ.
Hey, so what'd you say? You got to be good at two things?
Yes.
Well, that's the second part.
Now?
Yeah, well, you know, by the way,
it's 4:40.
It's after 4 o'clock. Let's just,
Yeah. You want to go in reverse order, right?
Nah. Come on, do it. Somebody who's good at two things, go for it.
All right, I'm going to go with Jackie Chan. He's good at martial arts and he's good at acting.
Oh, yeah. You know, definitely, for sure. They were all wrapped up in one. I don't think I ever saw a movie he did.
I was going to go Jet Li, and then I said, I'll go Jackie.
Okay. Jackie Chan is a good one. All right.
Now, my thing for the Phillies, and I couldn't agree with you more, Ike, or I'm sorry, Spike, on what your take was earlier, but because I don't think the GM's done enough to really put them in a position to win.
The Phillies, but, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The hitting, I wanted to kind of go around the ring with the three of you to see if you are confident enough in their bats to in the postseason. Like, if you were to lay odds right now, are you confident enough in their batting that they can go to the World Series?
Go to the World Series? For sure.
Yeah?
I mean,
this team can get to the World Series. They can win it.
Yeah, I mean, they're capable. They're capable. Whether they, to me, the biggest question of the Phillies is, are they willing to do the difficult things? Like, are they willing to compromise a little bit? Are they willing to not just wait around and get hot? I think they are capable. I don't think you're going to get anything different out of Castellanos that you always get. You're going to get the same Bryce Harper. You're probably going to get the same Kyle Schwarber, right? It comes down to Trey Turner, Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott. And Bohm, you're probably going to get what you're going to get out of Bohm, though I'd like him to hit 5 or 7 more home runs than he does. He's certainly capable. Mm-hmm. Trey Turner, that is why it's so important for me that Trey Turner lead off, because I don't want the Trey Turner who's trying to hit 30 home runs. I don't. I want him to dial in. I want him to get on base. I want him to hit some singles and doubles. I want him to steal some bases. And he's going to end up with 18 home runs or 20 home runs or whatever he ends up with. But I want him to stop trying to hit home runs. And I think if you put him in the leadoff spot, his responsibility will be to get on base. And I think it will force him almost to be that guy that we need him to be. I certainly think they're capable. You know,
I just don't have enough confidence that they have enough pop in that lineup to get them through, because I've seen it. You know, that's where my reluctance comes in, and I feel like I'm not the only one that has that same reluctance, right? You've seen them fail miserably, and it's mostly that postseason, right? I mean, if they fail miserably during the season and then they get hot in the playoffs, no one really cares because you're going to keep advancing. But where they seem to go cold is in that postseason, when you need them the most, and the high salary guys are the ones that go cold, and there's no answer for it.
Well, thank you for the call, MJ. I think as far as pop, I would have loved to if Kepler can hit. You think Kepler can hit 23 home runs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be a big difference.
You wish it was a right-handed bat.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's why we kept talking about Alonso,
the polar bear. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
Vladdy the deadline.
Yeah. Well, Vladdy the deadline would be great.
Yeah.
You know, a guy with real pop, not 20 home run pop, but 35 home run pop. That would this offense could really use that a little bit. You know what you could use? You could use that, you know, better food for your dog, your cat. You could use maybe some toys when they go outside now that it's springtime, or basically springtime. You could use maybe natural flea and tick prevention. Dogs and Cats Rule can be your home for all these things. And because George Perrini, the lead dog at Dogs and Cats Rule, knows that when you walk in there, you might not have all the answers. Thankfully, at all 7 of the locations, there is a staff that has those answers. You know, I am an annoying customer. I'm not a jerk, but I'm high maintenance. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, of course,
you know?
Yeah.
And everybody, sometimes I walk into Dogs and Cats Rule. I know they're not just being nice to me because I talk about Dogs and Cats Rule. They're just nice to everybody.
Yeah. But then when you leave, they're probably like, can you believe we just dealt with that guy?
And that's fine. But that's the way they're going to be with you at Dogs and Cats Rule. As I mentioned, you need toys. Dogs and Cats Rule is your spot. You know, food, the selection of Dogs and Cats Rule is awesome. Huge selection of the raw, gently cooked, freeze-dried, air-dried, dehydrated, premium stuff. And the staff to lead you in the right direction. There are 7 locations, 2 in Jersey, Princeton and Pennington, 5 in PA, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, Bluebell, and New Hope. For more information, dogsandcatsrule.pet. That is Dogs and Cats Rule. Shop small, shop local, shop family. 215. What's that?
No, I think there's been a little too much like they stink thing out there. I mean, like, by the power rankings, if you want to go by power rankings, they're a top 5 team in baseball.
Okay.
You know,
but do you remember before the playoffs last year?
I know.
They were the favorite. All those national people said that they were going to win the National League.
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
But they're cooking now.
Yeah.
And again, like, I think they're more wrong. Like, I don't think the Phillies are the second best team in baseball, you know, but I think it's really just them and the Dodgers. Like, you can make a case for the Mets, you can make a case for the Phillies, make a case for the Braves. They're all basically the same team. They all have their flaws. We'll see how it plays out. But I just think there's a little too much they're a bunch of bums.
Well,
that's where I push back on it.
What I think sometimes with national, sometimes we focus too much on the negative, and the national people don't see that,
right?
And they can have a better perspective. But I also think sometimes that local people can see things that national people don't see.
Yes.
And for me, the sort of lower level issues with the team, I think they're talented enough. Just like I said, I agree with you overall that I think people think that that maybe they have a bad taste from how it ended, and they have a misperception of how much talent they have. They certainly have enough talent, but I think one thing that we see that the national people don't see is that sort of comfort that they have, is the sort of like lack of urgency, is the chasing and those sorts of things. And maybe we put too much emphasis on that, but I also think the national people don't really pay attention to that because they don't have time.
Yeah.
Like, they're not
following every
like team.
Yeah, they're looking at all 30 teams, whereas we are locked in on the Phillies every day. And I'll give this fan base a little more credit than you do, Jack, because it seems like you're focusing on that vocal minority that's being overly dramatic about how bad the team is, right? It's always going to be that small percentage of our fan base that is just dramatic about everything. Team's the worst. Manager needs to go. Bryce stinks. Trey Turner stinks. We did the same thing with the Eagles. Nick Sirianni needs to go. Jalen stinks. You know what I mean? Like, we do the same thing with the other teams. But those are just the vocal minority. I think a lot of people feel like this is a good baseball team, but they're also saying to themselves, well, when they do something other than what they've already done, that's when I'll get excited about it. Problem for the Phillies is the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. So you got a large portion of the fan base that are still basking in that. Right? So they haven't even had the chance to get excited about the Phillies. We didn't make a big move like a Trey Turner this offseason. So we don't even have that to sort of dangle in front of the fans for them to get excited about. Like, the Phillies are going to go out there. Unfortunately for them, if you want people to buy in to the team, that's going to be a while. That's going to be a while. I agree. Some people, there's to go over the top with it. But that's just fans. Like, you're going to get that. You're going to get that.
It feels a bit defeatist to me. Like they.
But don't you think if they start 3-0, that'll be gone?
No, honestly, I hope not. I mean, like, I would hope we don't overreact too harsh
either way right.
to the beginning of the season. But I think there's for me a little too much defeatist attitude. You know, like they had a really bad two games against the Diamondbacks and they choked at home.
Yeah,
we can all be honest about that. And they had a horrible week.
I'll
last
tell you, the Mets series pisses me off more than the Diamondbacks series does.
Interesting. I don't feel that way.
Yeah, no, I understand why. That was certainly a more important series, losing game 6 and 7.
Is that like the Maury in me?
yeah, it is the Maury in you. Yeah. Well, objectively, we got
further.
It's the Mets series that gets me.
Well, because it's kind of like the Celtics 6 and 7 where people hone in on Embiid, like, there it is. Then maybe that's where people got to with the Mets series last year.
Yeah, well, but also the Mets series was pathetic.
Right.
I don't think
it was the day of Mets.
Yeah, the Diamondback series wasn't pathetic.
Well, no, I agree with you. Yeah.
The Diamondback series wasn't pathetic. The Mets series was pathetic.
Yeah.
But I also think there is a portion of people who convince themselves, like, if you were to go back and watch that season in real time again.
Which year?
Last year.
Last year, okay.
Knowing what you know now, you would start seeing that all over the place.
I agree.
You know, and I think why people are more mad about the Mets series is that they, in real time, they did not feel it happening.
Yep.
I mean, we took the calls of the best record, and there were enough times, I would say this too, there were enough times in the second half of the season where they won 4 in a row or something, and everybody just, we did those shows, are they back?
Yep.
You know? And there were enough times where people could see it and believe in it enough to think that, okay, once the playoffs come around, everything will
be fine.
That's
where I was. That was me. Yeah. That was me.
Yeah. Yeah. You got one take right.
I'm not even bringing it out about me. I'm just saying, no.
We got one take right in the last year.
Do not. What I'm saying is,
he was on it though.
What I'm saying is that I think if you were to go back and watch it again, it would be really. It's like,
but come on, man.
It's like the Sixth Sense, right? Once you know how the Sixth Sense ends, you can go back and watch the movie, and
it all makes sense.
See all? Oh, yeah. Obviously Bruce Willis is dead.
You see all the things.
They're just so tough though because they're horrible.
That's a good analogy. I like that.
Because they're horrible at the end of 22 too. I know,
Yes.
They choked. They full on choked. And then luckily the ninth inning in St. Louis happened and they got hot.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. They're a hard team to it's hard because it's baseball. Schwarber hit the grand slam against the Marlins and we were back.
2022, yes. Our standards and our expectations were so low. We just wanted to get back into the postseason for the first time.
Yeah.
In 22.
Even though they collapsed again, they just happened to get lucky enough that the Astros didn't have to play for anything.
Yep. Hey, man. Yeah, no, you're right. But at least they took advantage of it.
Well, dude, I remember doing shows. Well, I remember one guy doing shows, Gilio, saying that he hopes he missed the playoffs because they didn't deserve it.
I remember that, yes.
I think they got swept or lost two or three in Chicago.
I do remember that.
It was so good.
Well, didn't in
Gilio is so bipolar.
Oh,
with the
dude,
Phillies,
he's so
man.
Dramatic. Yes. This guy.
Well, was it 20? I'm trying to figure out which year it was because I wasn't. What was the year where they got hot before Bryce came back, and then Bryce came back, and that was when,
well,
during
was
the
20,
season, they leveled off?
Was
that
22?
22.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That was the other. Was the elbow? What did he have?
No, that's when he got hit by snow. That's when Bourne said.
Right. Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. I do remember that. Yes.
So, yeah, he hit like no home runs, I think, in September of that year.
Right. Well, he was, yes. And they had him, he was just DHing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Batting cleanup, too, by the way.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
I think he was batting cleanup.
He was
right?
batting cleanup.
He'll hit anywhere you want him to hit, 2-4, except for two.
Well, except against lefty.
Right. Thank except you. Against lefty.
Please lock in.
Jack, for the top 5 of 5, what would you say we have coming up?
Well, I have to do one of these every 2 months.
Yeah.
Things I can't hear about anymore.
Oh, these are, yeah.
Oh,
okay. Can't
he's
hear
tired. Yeah, things he's tired of hearing.
Tired
yes.
of hearing.
Yes, that's basically what he's saying.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what's your issue?
No issue. I'm just trying to think how I'm going
to
be involved.
You're not,
Mike's trying to figure out,
You're not in it.
Okay.
You're not in it. This is real life stuff.
Oh, wow. How about it?
Actually, your basketball team's in it. Sorry.
There it is. All right. That is coming up next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.